Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
With Mac Morey as well on 96.5 The Fan. Happy Monday. Very muggy, very thick out there. You could cut the humidity with a knife or a golf club later today at 4 o'clock.
You playing today?
I'm getting back out
you
there.
You get out there today?
Yeah.
Got a little of the bug with Warren Spahn winning the winning the Cy Young Award yesterday or whatever the hell that was.
That was the United States.
I saw Pittsburgh. I thought Skeens. I thought Cy Young. Here we sit with Warren Spahn, right?
Enough. No, because Spahn actually won. Skeens would just shoot 8 under and still somehow not get support.
Not get victory. He'd be removed after the 17th hole and they would not finish or something like that. And that's not a shot. That's not Noah Cameron's fault. 83 pitches. We're pulling a guy who was dominating yesterday. That doesn't make any sense
Questions.
To me.
Yeah, so we can just address the elephant in the room. A very, very, very terrible way to have a homestand. Not one win. Absolutely outscored. Can't put up any runs. Continuing to struggle. And then yesterday kind of hurt. I think yesterday was like the balloon popping for everyone. Again, off day today. We'll see what happens. We were told by Annie Rogers via X that there was a players-only meeting. Bobby Witt Jr. was one of the people who spoke and basically said, hey, here's the deal. We're better than this. We're not this bad. We need to do better. And then apparently Mark Canha had some things to say to the team as well as like the kind of the veteran.
Yeah, the 10-year guy, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got his pension. Good for him. Congrats to that. But again, I heard Vern say this last night on his on-deck show or his post-game show. You know, players talk, winners play. You know, like you can talk it all up you want, but when you play the game, that's where you win the game. So like talk is cheap until you can win the games. And then the offense continues to struggle. They had the two games, or I guess the three games in St. Louis. Since then, it's been bleak. Haven't won a home series, and I couldn't tell you how long. I think we've had Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Yeah, we've had both because it was the beginning of May. Yeah.
And then you lose 6 in a row at home. That's one that I think is every once in a while you have these moments in your season where you have to own it on the chin. And we talked about this, you know, I don't know what the players meeting did. I don't know if it got anybody. I don't know if anybody got fired up or if it was just one of those somber little talks. Obviously nobody else is in there. And then you have, the offense that continues to struggle. And I brought this up on Friday and something's got to change. And I think today will be that day. I think, you know, unfortunately, I don't ever want anyone to lose their job, but you've told everyone you're a playoff team. You're, what, 2.5, 3 games out of a wild card spot? You got 12 teams in front of you, it seems like. Got a lot of hopping to do. And, you know, it ain't going to be JJ going out. It ain't going to be Q going out. But I have a big hunch that we see some information about the hitting coach today.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do something, then yeah, today's the off day. It's that type of thing. And quite frankly, you know, I'm not a fire the coach, fire the hitting coach type of guy, but you've got to do something at this point in time. It's embarrassing right now with the way that they're hitting the baseball. And I don't think anybody else would argue with that. That's not taking a shot. That's not being negative. That's being honest with ourselves right now. And they just can't hit when it matters. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is. I do think it's a systemic thing. And that's why I said on Friday, and I'll continue to say it, their approach, I'm not a big fan of with all the analytics. Sometimes we just got to take all this stuff away and just allow guys to go up there and play baseball and see ball, hit ball, and pretend like you're a kid all over again and use the talent that God gave you. The talent that God gave you to play baseball is better than anything a nerd can give you in a meeting room about what this pitcher's going to do. Go out there and utilize your talent. Your big league baseball players, go out there and hit. Go out there and put the ball in play. Go out there and make contact with the baseball. You're capable of it because you're in the big leagues. And so that's why I always say it's never really, to me, for the most part, on the coaches. The guys have to go out there and execute. But if the coaches are filling their heads with too much stuff and they're swimming in their own thoughts, you know, we've all been there, right, Dusty? You and I have talked about this on the air and off the air. We get inside our own heads a lot, you know, And maybe that's happening with baseball. And the hitting coaches, for the most part, are supposed to be therapists. You know, what can I do for you type of thing? And so maybe they just need a new therapist in there to kind of figure things out. But the average shelf life of a hitting coach is about 2 years in Major League Baseball. So we'll see, you know, what this organization decides to do, how they decide to move forward. But right now, man, something's got to give because it's not really good right now. And then you go to the players-only meeting. Those are lame. Unless you're meeting at Henry T's as the KU basketball team in 08 and win a national championships and having that meeting, that's fine. But I don't see these players only meetings ever amounting to really much of anything. It's guys airing their grievances. And then we saw the direct result of the players only meeting on Sunday, which was kind of a, you know, not a great effort, if you will, from an offensive standpoint. They managed to score two runs and they got swept by Sacramento. You can't get swept by Sacramento and be considered a playoff team. And we were there yesterday. And I'll tell you what, the game ended, everybody stood up, and the whole place started booing. And I think that's good. I think boos are good right now because that means fans had expectations that were given to them by the team, and the team isn't living up to the expectations that they set for themselves and for the fans, and the fans are right to boo. I thought it was very therapeutic to hear the fans booing the team yesterday.
I don't necessarily think players-only meetings are lame, but they're awesome when they work. Like the Ibanez one was, we praised one, but then this one didn't work, so we immediately go to the other side. This again was Bobby Witt Jr. on that players only meeting.
I think it was good. We needed to have that. Things aren't going the way that we want it to be, and so we have to talk about it. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you got to talk as a team. We're a family in here, and so families talk, and so that's what we did, and we got to just figure some things out.
Why was now the time?
Because it keeps going on over and over again where it's like, oh, it's going to come, but no, it hasn't came, and so we have to figure something out. We have to change something, and so the time was now.
Did any one player spearhead this meeting or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it was kind of everyone. Everyone spoke their voice, and yeah.
Offensively, talking about hoping it comes. What's the stretch been like for you individually and as a team?
Yeah, for me, it's been not good, and so I got to look at myself in the mirror and say, what do I need to do? And I just need to get better. It starts from me. And that's honestly something that when I'm going, things are going better. And so I just got to get back to being myself. And so I'm not trying to put pressure on myself, but just really just trying to go out there, be comfortable and confident and enjoy the game. And so that's what I want to get back to doing. And it's frustrating that I'm not doing what I am capable of doing and doing it very poorly. And so I just got to get back to be myself.
Yeah, how do you do that, though? That's the million-dollar question, right? Like, he understands what he's doing. Like, yesterday, Bobby had a big hit early on. They scored a run. I'm like, okay, that's your star being a star. And, you know, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And we've discussed this over the last week. In sports, your stars have to be stars. And if your stars aren't stars, then you're not going to have an opportunity to win those games. And Bobby was a star for a little bit yesterday, got a big hit, drove in a run, you know, give yourself some breathing room, get a little bit of a lead, and then obviously it dissipated. But it's got to be more than just a base hit here or a base hit there, and everybody else has to contribute as well. This team right now, I don't know if you saw the numbers, 6 in a row, they've lost 8 of their last 9, and they've lost 22 of their past 32 games. I mean, so this isn't a one-week thing. They've won 10 games in the past 32, and that no matter how you slice it, that ain't good. And you know, it really is. The pitching's still been very, very good for the most part, but the problem is when Schreiber, or whoever, I guess it was Schreiber yesterday, gives up that home run to tie the game, and then you know, you see them win it in the ninth. They only scored 3 runs yesterday. So now you're asking your pitchers to be almost perfect out there on the mound. And we know how hard that is. It's hard enough to pitch at the big league level. It's even harder to have to go out there and be perfect and not allow any runs because your offense can't score. And so the pressure's on everybody right now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Schreiber. yeah, I mean, that just hearing that audio over the weekend and like kind of like picking it apart, knowing that we were going to talk about it today, just seems like a very, very frustrated superstar. And I don't think Bobby's that guy that's, you know, like you've seen in the past with like maybe your Juan Soto's or your Jamar Chase's, that he's not that personality, right? But he's more so, you can hear it in his voice. Like, when I'm going, the team's going. Everybody knows that. It's been very frustrating. It's been, you know, you can hear pressing. You can hear that it's not just with Bobby, it's with everybody. Because when Bobby's breaking like that, that's your strongest piece on your team outside of Salvador Perez and maybe Vinny Pasquantino. And when they've been affected by this, there's something that's not right. And again, we've seen this all the time, and I brought this up on Friday. In 2022, they fired Terry Bradshaw. His replacement was Alex Umwalt, who is the current head hitting coach for the Royals. And the reason they got rid of Terry Bradshaw was because of the two main points were lack of offensive production and lack of home runs. Has anything changed in that category?
No.
Right? And I know there's a lot of people out there that are upset with Q. Not his best move, in my opinion, yesterday, pulling Noah Cameron.
Yeah.
It immediately resulted in that home run. And it's 83 pitches.
It's 83 pitches, and the guy's been dominating bat. I mean, you look at like the numbers that he's putting up. It's like historical what this guy's doing. He became the only pitcher in baseball to do something yesterday. You know, like limiting runs over five innings or whatever. Like something like, you know, damn, this is the only guy who's done something like that. And after 83 pitches were taken, this is why I have a problem with analytics, because that guy was cruising yesterday, and some nerd said it's time to get him out of the game because some equation added up, and so they pulled him out of the game with 83 pitches yesterday. The guy was not tiring. Now, yes, it was a little hot and humid out there yesterday, but do you know how many people in Cameron jerseys were around that I saw? They were all going,
really?
why are they taking him out?
Yeah.
Like all his family and friends were wondering the same thing in the crowd yesterday.
Yeah. He's the first pitcher in the last 125 seasons to go 5+ innings and allow 1 or 0 runs in at least 6 of his first 7 career games.
It's a bad managerial move yesterday. It is, and those happen, and not everybody's gonna be perfect.
And I kind of also put that on the whole team is pressing. You're overthinking things.
Yes.
You're trying to do things that you don't normally necessarily do because you're under pressure. And I don't think, I don't guarantee you this, but I would wonder if you could give Q that situation 10 more times, how many times it's the same.
Yeah.
And I know that hindsight is 2020, and you know, maybe Schreiber goes in there on another day and mows him down.
Yeah, and if Schreiber does his job, nobody's talking about it either.
But the problem is that there was a guy already doing his job.
That's right.
He was pitching a shutout. There's a man on, 2-run homer comes right after that. And not only that, but like your best pitcher in June has been Angel Zerpa. Why isn't that Zerpa's spot? Why is that not Lucas Ercik's spot, right? Why is he coming later? So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, and I'm with the fan base. It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. Yeah.
And not only that, but now you go to Texas where you don't traditionally win very often.
No.
Then you play the Padres.
Yes, that's right.
And then you get the Dodgers. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it was announced yesterday. Shohei Ohtani is pitching again.
Woo!
So all that dog so poo excited. That I talked on this guy, but well, he always DHs. Eat some crow, Likens.
Yeah, this guy's back. He makes his first start this week and will probably
today,
pitch.
Right?
Is it today?
It's tonight.
I think it's tonight.
Hang on a second.
Yesterday was Father's Day. Uh-huh. There was no NBA. There was no NHL, right? Which is irresponsible on both of those leagues' parts. You played on a Saturday night in the NBA. The only reason I saw is because we were still riding high from the BMA Foundation. Mm-hmm. We got home and saw the rest of the game, right? So no NHL, no NBA on Sunday. It was kind of a dead sports day, if you will, for Father's Day. Yes, U.S. Open, Sunday Night Baseball, whatever you want. And then tonight, we've got NHL, NBA, and Ohtani pitching. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Three TVs.
Like, what are we supposed to do in this situation? Like, you're giving me everything at once. No wonder I was a fat child. Here's all the food, Bobby. Go eat.
NHL tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're not going to watch Shohei Ohtani tonight.
Oh, is it a 9 o'clock start?
9:10 against San Diego. You ain't watching.
All right. Okay.
How about that? Right.
Well, there goes that segment.
Yeah, never mind.
So that the overreaction to that was an overreaction Monday. I guess.
You're a bigger buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
You really are, man. It's a bigger buzzkill than Jerry Fallon the other night.
Oh, that might have lit the place up. Actually, watch that video if you're having a day. Strawberry pie. Yeah, strawberry fall. All right, let's get into an overreaction Monday. Mac, take us away.
Also, just on the Royals, the A's had lost 14 straight road games and 24 out of the last 28. Anyways.
Before coming into Kansas City.
Yes.
You're the best, Mac. I appreciate you so much, man. Thanks for taking me off the throne of Mr. Buzz Killington.
No doubt, exactly. Man. Oh, and one other thing, the A's haven't won since Carter was president, and they moved six times, and they beat the Royals in 3 straight games.
Just adding some context.
Yeah.
Pacers lost the finals on Friday night.
Yes.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's over. They were up 2-2, they would have been up 3-1, they were up 2-1, and they were up 10 or 12 points with 5 or 6 minutes to go. It felt like they had controlled that whole game. It's not like that game ever had a rhythm. We'll get into the refs later on in the show, but I don't think it was necessarily one-sided. I just think it was terrible. I think there was no rhythm or rhyme or reason.
No, it was a ref show.
It was an absolute ref show. Scott Foster said, let me upstage everybody.
But even Indiana had a 10-point lead still in that one that they blew,
they did.
Right?
They blew
a 10-point lead, which, by the way, I'm going to ask you guys this. Like, what is the safest lead in sports anymore? I mean, the Chiefs were up like 28 in a playoff game. You've seen how many teams up 20 in an NBA playoff
Chiefs
round?
Chiefs are down 3 with 13 seconds left.
Chiefs are down with 13 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Baseball, there's no safe lead anymore. Hockey, you're up 3-0 and then losing 4-3. What is considered a safe lead in sports? I don't know that there is one anymore.
When you're winning with no time left.
That's exactly it. That's zeros. It. That's it, man. Like, you want to leave these games early and check out early and you know, think these games are over and you don't want to watch anymore because somebody's up 20. Hell no, they're not. These things flip on a dime, and Indiana was up 10, and before you knew it, there was a tie game, and all of a sudden Oklahoma City was taking the lead. You tied that thing at 2, and now you've got what they want, a pivotal game 5.
Huge game 5.
This is the biggest game 5 that we've seen in quite some time. It's a pivotal game 5. And, you know, the pendulum swings one way or the other. The winner of this game normally wins the series, I think, 72% of the time.
Yeah.
So tonight's winner most likely will win this whole damn thing.
Yeah, if the Pacers lose tonight, they're not going to be able to win 2 in a row. So, yeah, I think tonight's it, and they lost the finals on Friday night. Sucks. You know, there was one touch foul, and then someone would get clobbered in the face. No call. There's no rhythm, no rhyme or reason. It sucked.
Pacers.
The NBA's got an issue.
Yeah.
Pacers in 7. Hopefully.
Dusty, what do you got?
Two things. Found a new band that I absolutely love.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and always. This sick, strange darkness comes creeping on. So hunting every time. I seek a pese a contar.
We're in Spanish now.
Todas las telarañas atrapan y devoran víctimas. Like indecision to call you.
Back to English.
And hear your voice of treason. When you come home, we'll stop this pain tonight. Stop this pain tonight.
Yeah. So do these guys have an album? Because when I sent this to you, it was just one song. I don't know if they have an entire, like, discography.
They have a bunch of stuff.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
That's Blink-182.
Yeah. That was great.
Pay Their Delilah. They got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I got, like, five different DMs via Instagram or Facebook from dear friends of mine that were like, have you seen this? You're a huge Blink guy. What do you think? Dude, I was bopping to that.
I love it.
It's really good. It's really good.
Vicente Vares Sunday. I cannot sleep. I cannot. It's like we went from two different languages in one song.
I mean, thought it was great. Really well done by those guys.
I mean,
seriously.
Honestly, you want to learn the Spanish tongue, just have Blink-182 songs in all Spanish.
Yeah.
And I'll be fluent.
That's true.
Know? But you won't know what you're saying.
No
most
doubt.
Of the time,
yeah. But that was one. And then Alex Gold's a genius. Alex Gold is a dear friend of mine who got me into card opening and, you know, ripping packs when we went to Springfield to see Jack Caglione. I then picked his brain, said, how do you do this? How do you get these cards? He's like, well, you go into these things on Fanatics Live, you go in these breaks. I pulled a one-of-one PJ Milando card, who is a prospect for the Miami Marlins. He was the 16th, I believe, overall pick in the 2024 draft, the same draft as Caglione, whose card is just through the roof. Hopefully it stays that way at 213.
And back to Omaha.
But no.
Damn, I should have sold.
And so I got it, sold it, and collected a little over $4,000 for a card.
Ooh,
so
$41
on a card. So yeah, Alex Gold, whatever he touches is gold.
Yep.
Alex Gold is the golden standard. Listen to Gold's betting advice. Listen to Gold's life advice. He will get you paid and possibly get you laid.
No, we tried. We really did.
It was a shock. I'll never do it again. It was a lucky pull. It was, you know, a one of one. They're rare as can be. Sapphire, pinkish, whatever it was. I don't even know. And Alex happened to be in the room when it happened. We freaked out together.
That's cool.
But it was a cool moment, and I didn't know how insane the card game was. But yeah, it sold, and hopefully get paid in the next couple days.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this.
That's exactly right.
Get lucky.
Yeah.
That's all it is, man.
It really is.
Right. Ryan Squirrel right there,
exactly.
Dude.
Exactly. That's people like, how do you do this? Luck. Most of life is, anyway. So my overreaction is the Rafael Devers trade that took place last night. Devers will be complaining in 3-2-1 because the Boston Red Sox, and I like nothing from the city of Boston, right? The Boston Red Sox may have pulled off the greatest, like, up yours trade of all time. Rafael Devers wanted to be traded because they signed Alex Bregman to play third base, and they were going to move him to first base or DH. Wanted no part of that. I'm a third baseman. Trade me, trade me, trade me, trade me, trade me. Fine. they traded him yesterday to the San Francisco Giants behind five-time Gold Glover Matt Chapman. It's like the only other place that has a Gold Glove third baseman that's been there forever. That's where they sent Rafael Devers for four players. So I love the thinking of the Boston Red Sox by doing something like that. I love the Giants still going out and acquiring him. I'm going to know he's probably going to be a first baseman. So my overreaction is this thing is going to blow up in the face of Rafael Devers and the Giants, and he will be complaining before week's end because he's not playing third base in San Francisco. The Boston Red Sox legitimately said, fine, you don't want to play first base here? Well, you're not going to play third base anywhere else. We're sending you to the Giants. Welcome to your wishes. And as they like to say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Be careful what you wish for.
Would you rather play in Boston or San Francisco?
San Francisco. San Francisco. Yeah, I think the weather's better, first of all. I'm a West Coast guy. I like the West, even though I grew up on the East Coast, which is weird. I love the West Coast. I think Boston is a very, very tough city to play in. And if you're not hitting 500 and making a play every single time, it's very, very hard to play there. So I think San Francisco, you can kind of get lost in the lifestyle out there. And people aren't as hard on you in San Francisco as they are in Boston. Mm. Now, I will say, if you talk to anybody from the 14-15 run with the Royals, the worst crowds were San Francisco. And some of the stuff they tried to do to the bus and beat up the bus.
Like, the Bay would be cool, but like the advantages of being in like that, you know, northeastern area during like the fall outside of football or outside of baseball season. It's like, oh, okay, I just, you know, go to Martha's Vineyard or I can go to, you know, a Patriots game or I can live. I don't know. I've always been envious of the Upper East Coast just from all like the, like, food wise. I mean, you can't really lose San Francisco / Massachusetts. It's like you're either eating crab cakes or eating, you know, bomb, you know, tacos and stuff like that on the West Coast, dude.
The weather in San Francisco,
not a question.
Summer doesn't start in Massachusetts till July.
Yeah, you're either in King's Landing or the Wall. Yeah. There's really no in between, right?
I mean, it really is. I mean, like, it doesn't start till July, and so then it ends on July 5th, and so then you're, you know, back to winter. So I would take San Francisco. Summer's definitely here now.
We got 90s this week, boys.
I mean, you talk about cutting the weather with a knife out there today.
Ugh. I heard tomorrow night we're supposed to get storms, and it's like the last rain. Now our grass is all going to be brown. We're going to wish we could mow again.
Is that what there's, like, the last rain for what, years?
That's what I heard. Like, we're supposed to get, there's a chance it could be like a severe storm on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning early. And then after that, it's like bleak.
It's just
90s, hot.
I went out and watered the grass yesterday, and the dirt is already starting to crack, right?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, we just had rain like 3 days ago. And so I'm like telling my wife, like, look, the land is already starting to, you know, spread apart. You can see the cracks in it and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, we got to continue to water, man. Got to keep that grass looking good because we've invested a lot into this thing right now, and we want it to look good. So, that's where we are. So it goes from, like, drought to deluge, whatever it is.
Sure.
Like, and then right back to drought again. Right back to drought. So here we are again. Rain, please.
No. Pools, summer.
I wish every night it would rain. Yeah. My dad had his first surfside yesterday at the Royals game.
Yeah?
Really impressed.
Okay. You liked it?
Yo, good. How did you not?
Tea or lemonade?
We had the tea.
Nice. Yeah. Mm. They're both great.
Yeah. I brought surfsides over for stepdad and dad. Both, enjoyed. So, yeah. Because my stepdad's a Coors Light drinker. And he goes, I'd really love to try one of those Surfsides I always hear you talk about. They must be good. All I hear is you talk about Surfside. And I was like, yeah, they're amazing.
They're really good.
With strawberry lemonade. He's like, ooh, this would be good on the patio. I'm like, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, thanks.
So it was good Father's Day for both of you guys then?
Yeah, you as well?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you had dad in town, right? Everybody
had one of the best Father's Days I've ever had. I got to go to the Royals game with my dad and my kids, man. Like,
that
I
is awesome.
Never get to that. My wife and mother were there as well. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Father's Day. I got to be with my dad. I don't remember the last time we spent Father's Day together, so it was awesome. Perfect. To have the kids there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There was fantastic. And then Delaney stepped on her ice cream sandwich and got it all over her leg. And then the ice cream sandwich was gone.
Always.
But it was two cookies. I was fantastic.
It's always some weird stuff, man.
Yeah. The dog puked grass all over the kitchen table for some reason when he decided to get up there and let it out.
Yeah, I don't know what the dog did over the weekend. We kind of lost track of her, too. But no, I mean, Delaney, and then she steps on the ice cream sandwich. It flies up all over her leg and leg. And she goes, I was telling myself, do not step on this ice cream sandwich. Do not step on this ice cream sandwich. She steps on the ice cream sandwich. It goes everywhere.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.